Welcome back to New World Next Week. I'm James Corbett of CorbettReport.com.
And I am James Evan Pilato of MediaMonarchy.com. There was nothing consensual about this conduct. We have got that story, plus death by medicine. But first, faceless people, invisible hands. New army video aims to lure recruits for psychological operations. Ironic dateline location for this Associated Press story, Fort Liberty. The video is unsettling, with haunting images of faceless people, fire, and soldiers. The voiceover is a cascade of... I wish I could do the voiceovers for these things. The voiceover is a cascade of recognizable historical voices as the screen pulses cryptic messages touting the power of words, ideas, and invisible hands. Hints of its origin are tucked into frames as they flash by. Psy War. All caps. The Army psychological warfare soldiers are using their brand of mental combat to bring in what the service needs, recruits. And if you find the video intriguing, you may be the Army's target audience as it works to enlist soldiers to join its Special Operations Command. The video is the second provocative recruiting ad that in itself exemplifies the kind of work PSYOP soldiers do to influence public opinion and wage the war of words overseas. Called Ghost in the Machine 2, it's coming out 2 years, basically to the day, after the inaugural video, quietly posted on the unit's YouTube site, generated a firestorm of online chatter. It's a recruiting video, said the Army major who created it, speaking with the Associated Press before the release. So the Associated Press isn't reacting and jumping on and reporting a story. They obviously knew this was coming. Someone who watches it and thinks, wow, that was effective. How was it constructed? That's the kind of creative mindset we're looking for. We will include the link to Ghost in the Machine 2. Don't give it thumbs up and certainly don't subscribe to it. The second PSYOP recruiting video is here and it will blow your mind. TaskandPurpose.com warns us, and we will, of course, include the link to your classic. You are being gamed, James. Is it bad I didn't actually watch this brainwash before we were talking about it here?
You know what? I'm going to say no, it isn't bad. Because although we always, always exhort people to go to the show notes, we're putting all the links in. Go read these articles for yourself. There's more information there. Dig it up. Put these pieces together for yourself. In this case in particular, I would say that actually subjecting yourself to this propaganda is doing their work for them. Because the entire point of this is to get into your mind, to make it cool about the, oh, cool, PSYOPs operations that these PSYOPs warriors are doing, and you could be part of this and manipulating people en masse, and oh, isn't it so great? Of course, this is all of the disinformation, misinformation spreader idea that they're demonizing when it's regular civvies, but when it's the military doing it, man, that's so cool and awesome, and you could be one of these great hero warriors, which is laughable, because whenever you hear from people who have been in intelligence or worked with intelligence or brushed up against intelligence or PSYOPs or what have you, they always say that the whole James Bond macho swashbuckling image of these jet-setting debonair people is just laughable, because intelligence and PSYOPs agents tend to be the most plain, boring people imaginable. But beyond that, I think what this story really gestures to. So I would say I did subject myself to this, and it is exactly what you would expect it to be. It's all the, ooh, we're so cool and manipulating things, exactly like the previous iteration of this PSYOP recruitment campaign that they launched a couple of years ago. But I would say that this is the perfect underline example of exactly what I was talking about just recently in my podcast on how to save the world, where the they, them, those absolutely 100% know the most powerful weapon in the world. They know how to manipulate your mind by getting into it with well-crafted narratives to manipulate your perceptions. The entire point of a video like this is to manipulate you. And to a certain extent, even us just sitting here talking about it is playing into their hands. We are giving our time, our attention, our energy, our focus to them and what they are trying to put implant into us. So the flip side of that, the hopeful side of it, is we can take our time, energy, and attention and focus it where we want. And that is really, I think, the thing that we should take out of a story like this one.
James, I imagine, having not watched it, that it looks like some Tom Clancy Super Soldier video game trailer, I would imagine. And as the advice goes in many of these situations, as was said on The Simpsons those many decades ago, just don't look. Just don't look. Or, of course, like I like from Raiders of the Lost Ark, don't look at it, Marion. It's going to melt your face if you play along with this thing. So, James, do you remember, I'm going to ask anybody, do they remember the so-called woke CIA ads from what was about 3 years ago? The internet comes together to mock the CIA's new woke ad, May 4th, 2021. May? It's almost like they put all these out on May Day on purpose or something. Forbes wrote about it. The advert plays like a razor-sharp parody, funnier than any SNL skit, a cynical blend of progressive buzzwords that the creators of South Park would likely compose as a throwaway gag. The idea of the CIA putting on a friendly face is inherently amusing. Even a quick scroll through Wikipedia reveals some mind-blowing atrocities committed by the agency that make the fever dreams of conspiracy theories look lucid. In hindsight, perhaps the real problem with MKUltra was the lack of diversity. As a gay, two-spirit furry of color, the CIA really welcomed me, James. I played a bunch of the clips on my show, so now they're basically in my radio rotation, so you'll be listening to some cool music, and then you'll hear some weird woke ad from the CIA. Sometimes they're just blind, but it's just this exploitative series of commercials they did a couple of years ago, and this strikes me as kind of a same piece, if you will. That's how we get going on this New World Next Week, episode 553. Our second story, this just in, prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death. This interesting, writing from Peter C. Gulchi. And again, of course, like you said, we've always got the links in there. Overtreatment with drugs kills many people and the death rate is increasing. It is therefore strange that we've allowed this long-lasting drug pandemic to continue, and even more so because the drug deaths are easily preventable. In 2013, I estimated that our prescription drugs are the third leading cause of death after heart disease and cancer, and in 2015, that psychiatric drugs alone are also the third leading cause of death. However, in the United States, it is commonly stated that our drugs are only the fourth leading cause of death. Estimate derived from a 1998 meta-analysis of 39 U.S. studies of where monitors recorded all adverse drug reactions that occurred while the patients were in hospital, or which were the reason for hospital admission. The methodology clearly underestimates drug deaths. Most people who are killed by drugs die outside of hospitals, and the time spent in hospitals was only 11 days on average in the meta-analysis. Moreover, that meta-analysis only included patients who died from drugs that were properly prescribed, not those who died as a result from errors in the drug administration, noncompliance, overdose, drug abuse, and not deaths where the adverse drug reaction was only possible. Many people die because of errors, e.g. simultaneous use of contraindicated drugs, I'll have to look that one up, and many possible drug deaths are real. Moreover, most of the included studies are very old, the median publication year being 1973, and drug deaths have increased dramatically over the last 50 years. 37,309 drug deaths reported to the FDA in 2006, 123,927 10 years later, which is a 3.3 times as many. In hospital records and coroner reports, deaths linked to prescription drugs often considered to be from natural or unknown causes. This misconception is particularly common for deaths caused by psychiatric drugs. Even when young patients with schizophrenia suddenly drop dead, it's called a natural death. It's not natural to die young. The notice of liability delivered to individuals at the World Health Organization this week, James, you're going to have to explain this one to me. The text of the notice of liability delivered to Tedros and the gang, RE, notice upon harm and to cease and desist. Now, what this made me think of, James, way back before the scamdemic, medical error was the third leading cause of death. Search medical error, third leading cause of death, and when you search that, you'll find some of those 2018, 2019 articles, but like they like to do, it's all been covered up with 2021 articles of them going, nuh-uh. And never forget, James, I don't know if you know this one, beloved actor Bill Paxton, game over, man, game over, and your stewed buttwad. Bill Paxton was killed by a surgeon in 2017, and his family just settled the case for a measly $1 million. Now, I'll ask you, have you noticed, and maybe I was noticing it longer than it was consciously a realization, just the normalization of everybody on meds the last 30 years?
In my personal life, I'm glad to say not so much, and I don't know if that's because I'm not American, or because maybe people just don't like to talk about what meds they're on. Either way, I haven't noticed it as much in my personal life, but obviously given the work that we do and the type of reporting that we do, I have certainly seen the normalization of, well, everybody's on some kind of meds at this point, right? And I have talked about this before, so if people are interested, they can go back through the Corporate Report archives on my work on SSRIs and other types of pharmaceuticals that are being given out to children like candies. In the interest of Big Pharma, of course. And that's, I think, the underlying issue here is the undoubted takeover of all of the regulatory agencies and all of those things stewarding over your health are really just different arms of Big Pharma at this point. So no surprise there. The universe has been restored to its balance, James, because here is another example of a story where, once again, yes, I do exhort people to go and read through this entire article. It is voluminous. It is extremely well-referenced and researched, and it has a lot of statistics and figures in there. But basically, long story short, when you break it down, this Peter Gauthier writer is pointing to all of the various problems that arise in trying to arrive at a number of how many people are killed by various medications. And there are a number of different factors that go into it, and he describes them quite well and talks about the various studies that have been done, but why they're probably underestimating or in some cases maybe overestimating deaths. And there's a lot of care and consideration that goes into this. But one of the underlying factors is the reason, one of the reasons we don't have a hard underlying final total number for the number of people, say, who've been killed by psychiatric medications is because whose interest does it serve to actually come up with such a number? Certainly not Big Pharma, who, by the way, is sponsoring a lot of the research that would go into finding out such a number anyway. So there's a lot of cynicism to spread around with regards to this story. With regards to the notice of liability story, I just thought that's an interesting follow-up to what I was just talking about on Solutions Watch, suing the tyrants. And I did raise this the specter of this legal document, this notice of liability, where instead of trying to sue some sort of amorphous general organization, no, filing a notice of liability against specific individuals, your actions are causing harm. You will be held personally, criminally responsible for the behavior you are engaging in. And I think that's an interesting tactic. I don't know how successful it will be. I'm not exactly expecting to see Tedros in an orange jumpsuit anytime soon, unfortunately. But it is an interesting story and one that I'll be looking into and seeing if there's any follow-up to it.
I guess I really noticed it in both these places are back in Portland, Oregon. At the grocery store, most of my coworkers were all fit, awesome, alternative, anti-pharma, healthy, rad people. Then at the commercial FM radio station, of which most of the employees, this was part of my sadness of the realization of getting hired there, oh, it's mostly sales departments. How much everybody all just talked about the water cooler. Oh, well, you're on Zibble's Lamb? Well, you got to balance it out with the Slabble Slabs. And it was just like, it was what they talked about. What are you doing? I was like, this is my organic milk and coffee that I brought from home. I'm going to go back to the conspiracy show because I'm crazy. And by the way, James, I think we have to mention, as long as we're talking about the disease industry, AstraZeneca admits their jabs cause harm and are pulling them from the market. That is news from the last 24 hours. And I talk about it on my Morning Monarchy. AstraZeneca withdrawing COVID vaccine worldwide. Finally, on this New World Next Week episode 533, man, when I first heard this news, James, it really struck me. It's like, man, him and America's dad must really have some dirt on some people. But Courtney Love tried to warn us. Harvey Weinstein will be retried in New York after rape conviction overturned. Mayday from Reuters. Former Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein will be retried in New York, the Manhattan District Attorney's Office said in court, a week after the state's highest court threw out his 2020 rape conviction. Weinstein appeared in court before Judge Curtis Farber in a wheelchair and a black suit more than 4 years after his conviction was hailed as a milestone for the Me Too movement, in which women accused hundreds of men in entertainment, media, politics, and other fields of sexual misconduct. There was nothing consensual about this conduct, prosecutor Nicole Blumberg said. We believe in this case and will be retrying this case. Weinstein, 72, was serving a 23-year sentence in a prison in upstate Rome, New York. He has been transferred to Bellevue Hospital in Manhattan. Farber remanded Weinstein back into custody and said he expects to hold a new trial, I don't know, sometime after Labor Day, which is September 2nd. Weinstein remained silent during the court hearing. In February 2020, if you forget, as it was, things are getting pretty wild around that time, jurors in Manhattan convicted Weinstein of sexually assaulting former production assistant Miriam Haley in 2006 and of raping actress Jessica Mann in 2013. They were among the more than 80 women who have accused Weinstein of sexual misconduct. The conviction included charges of first-degree sexual assault and third-degree rape. Weinstein, who has denied having non-consensual sexual encounters with anyone, was acquitted on other charges. Haley's attorney, Gloria Allred, which kind of shines a bad, I guess Benjamin Crump was probably busy already chasing ambulances. Gloria Allred told reporters she's not decided whether she'll testify again at trial, saying, of course, it was traumatizing. That testimony was obviously believed by a jury, and in addition, Mimi's testimony was not the only evidence presented, which gets into a little bit of the problem. Last week, the New York Court of Appeals found that Judge James Burke, who presided over the trial, made a critical mistake by allowing three women to testify about alleged sexual assaults by Weinstein that were not part of the criminal charges against him. Whoopsie, I planted a poison pill we could use later if we need. The court said that this prior bad acts testimony violated his right to a fair trial. Weinstein sentenced to 16 years following his separate rape trial in California. The two sentences cannot be served concurrently, and California gives law prosecutors wider latitude to introduce prior bad acts, more so than New York does. Burke is no longer on the bench, conveniently. What is he, probably chilling on a beach in Tel Aviv with Epstein? So any New York retrial would be before a different judge. Weinstein, of course, co-founded the Miramax Film Studio, whose hit movies included Shakespeare in Love, the movie everyone believes bought its shock Best Picture Oscar, and Pulp Fiction, from a director who would later be accused of abusing some of his actresses. His own eponymous film studio, Miramax, or rather Weinstein Studios, filed for bankruptcy in March 2018. So, of course, it's Media Monarchy. I went over a lot of this on my morning show, Harvey Weinstein's rape conviction overturned in New York. But, James, like I said, invoking America's dad, that's what they used to call Bill Cosby. This all kind of seems to follow a trend. Bill Cosby, freed from prison, sex conviction overturned, June 30th, 2021. Porn star Ron Jeremy's 34 criminal counts have officially all been dismissed, April 3rd, 2024, and most recently, woman who accused Dodgers pitcher Trevor Bauer of sexual assault, indicted for fraud. She concocted a giant scheme. Now, these are all very different cases. They are not all one thing by any stretch. But is this, James, is this the pendulum swinging back the other way? Even it makes me think of, like, protests and voting. Y'all had a good time. Yeah, yes, all menning and stuff. But the accusations were made in a lot of ways on Instagram and not in the courts of law. But it's like, yeah, it's like voting. We'll let you do all this, but it's not going to actually change anything unless you stop giving your money and enabling abusers. James, was Me Too a thing in Japan?
Yeah, there were a few prominent cases here that gave rise to what people were calling a Japanese Me Too movement. Whether it really manifested in such is debatable, but there have been a few high-profile cases. And unsurprisingly, because, yes, sexual assault and rape of young people in industries in vulnerable positions happens in Japan and presumably in every other country on the planet as well. So, there's a lot of different issues swirling around here. And I would just say that I understand the sort of the legal complexities of what trying what is essentially a crime of being in someone's mind? Was this consensual or not consensual? And how do you sort that out in a judicial system after the fact? It's going to be a messy process, and it's not always going to have happy results for everyone. So, I mean, there's a lot of nuance here. I would just say generally, yes, I am against sexual assault and rape and you exploiting people in various industries, and not just women. One of the stories that came out here in Japan in the past couple of years, Shades of Jimmy Savile, the Johnny Kitagawa, who was the head of Johnny's, this boy band maker, stalwart of the music industry here in Japan, died, I think, a couple of years ago. And as it turns out, all of those rumors and even that that article that was written about him decades ago about him raping the young boys, well, it turns out maybe that was true. And now there's all this new evidence that has come out since his death about this. So it happens to young men and young women in positions of vulnerability, and presumably always has, and hopefully won't always, but how do we go about solving that? And I get how this plays into the culture war side of things, and I get how the conspiratainment side of it would be to look for the, no, Weinstein was innocent, I tell ya. Cosby was innocent. All those women were lying. I don't think that's necessarily the right maneuver here. I'm certainly not going to come out Team Weinstein. Yay. He was such a great guy. But the real question is in the weaponization and the use of these allegations. Why are certain people brought to trial for this and other people aren't? Why, for example, Weinstein, Cosby, but not Biden, Clinton? You know, why are they shielded from the Me Too accusations is really the question that we should be asking in this case. Anyway, there's a lot of nuance here, but it's interesting to watch these things playing out in the courts and then people's responses to them.
Well, and I guess Epstein and Maxwell, they were pimping girls to nobody. James, there's a new sort of documentary series, and I think there's new allegations contained therein about Kevin Spacey, who of course was photographed with Ghislaine Maxwell allegedly sitting on some of the thrones in Buckingham Palace. And speaking of not watching the gross things, no, I didn't watch the video of the dude burning himself down a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't watched the gnarly new Quiet on Set documentary series about all the abuse happening to kids on Nickelodeon TV shows back in the day. James, Terry Crews, the actor, C-R-E-U-S, big, tough, you know, funny, hilarious black dude, he came out and said, I was abused. I was sexually assaulted in my career, and people kind of laugh at him. There's a lot, of course, going on here, and much too much to get into, but I will, James, I will include the link. Courtney Love, on the red carpet in 2005, was asked, Courtney, do you have any advice for girls trying to break into Hollywood? And she even goes, I'll get libel sued for this, but if Harvey Weinstein invites you to a private party at the Four Seasons, don't go. Hoy. That is, there's the New World Next Week, sigh. Yeah. That was the natural, real one. That is New World Next Week, episode 553. One actually hidden last clutch of old logo Corbett Report shirts. We found a few more in the warehouse, so go double check again. If you maybe thought your size was sold out, it might not be, and there might be a few more in there. And again, this is the old Corbett Report logo. So again, instant collector's item, James. Also, I forget to remind people, I play the exclusive audio of these New World Next Week episodes again. We tape these Wednesday evening to me, and of course it takes us a little while to get this produced. Huge thanks, as always, to video editor Brock West. But I play the exclusive audio after my Thursday Morning Monarchy show before it is published anywhere. Only me and Corbett and James and maybe sometimes Cassbot has heard it. I think that's one of the great ways to kind of get people over to listen to, again, what is a free, commercial-free broadcast that is for adults only at MediaMonarchy.com/listen. James, there it is.
Yes, thank you to Brock for the excellent video editing he does. Thank you to Cassbot over at the Media Monarchy store for keeping things running there. Thank you to you, James, for the Media Monarchy stream that you do every day. I hope people are checking it out. And thank you, most importantly, to all the people who tune in every week and make all of this possible. So on that note of thanks, do it again next week. Talk to you then.
Thanks, buddy. Take care.